Marcus Sahaba Online Radio, empowering the Ummah.
مولاي صلي وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم مولاي صلي وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم محمد سيد الكونين والثقلين محمد سيد الكونين والثقلين والفريقين من عرب ومن عجم والفريقين من عرب ومن عجم مولاي صلي وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم هو الحبيب الذي ترجى شفاعته هو الحبيب الذي ترجى.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. أهلا وسهلا ومرحبا بكم and welcome to a Wednesday edition of the Mid Morning Show with myself, Brother Sulaiman Yusuf, every Tuesday, Wednesdays and Thursdays between 10 and 11 a.m. Today being the 24th of Rabi'ul Awwal 1447, corresponding to Wednesday the 17th of September 2025. Alhamdulillah, it's a beautiful, beautiful Wednesday morning here in Johannesburg. When you say Jazakallah Khairan to you, the listeners of Markaz Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah. As you always know, every Tuesdays, Wednesdays and Thursdays, we have various topics and we discuss about different things that are happening in and around our community. Today, inshallah, we're going to be discussing about the fundamental question, and that is, what does it truly mean to be a man? We live in an age that sends us countless messages about masculinity. But let us go back to the real source of the real men. The men who stood up for jihad. The men who stood up for Islam. And that is in the time in the lives of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And also we look at the time of the Anbiya alayhi salatu wa salam. And we look at the Sahaba ikram as well. And how much they had given for the in the path of Almighty Allah and for the deen. And there's so many figures, illustrious figures, that we can look to and turn to. Their lives were a perfect model, and it should be a role model. And our first role model should be none other than our beloved Nabi Kareem Muhammad Mustafa Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And their lives were a perfect model and what it meant to be a man of courage, a man of integrity, a man of iman. The men of the Sahaba were known for their profound courage. When it came time for jihad, they were ready, ever willing to give their lives in the path of Almighty Allah because they knew what was the essence of becoming shuhada. It wasn't just on the battlefield, but it was also in their daily lives. It was a courage that was rooted in the deep conviction, the tawakkal in Almighty Allah. Let us look at the lion of Allah, that is none other than the uncle of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and that is Hamza ibn Abu Talib radiallahu anhu, who courageously defended his nephew, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was preaching and calling to the oneness of Almighty Allah, it was Hamza radiallahu anhu that stood in front of the people of Quraysh and told them that anyone touches my nephew, they will see what will happen. And even before he accepted Islam, or the unwavering steadfastness of Bilal radiallahu anhu. And let us look at Bilal radiallahu anhu, the first muazzin and the only muazzin to call out the adhan from all three holy sacred masajids on this world, in this earth, and that is Makkah al-Mukarramah, Madinah al-Munawwara, and Masjid al-Aqsa. Bilal radiallahu anhu was a slave who endured immense torture for his iman. His masters told him to give up their religion, but his unwavering conviction and his tawakkal and his faith in Almighty Allah, they dragged him through the outskirts and the streets of Makkah with a boulder on his chest. But his conviction, and he kept on saying those famous words, Ahad, Ahad, the One, the One. And that is referring to none other than Almighty Allah. Under the scorching sun, he was a timeless example that true strength lies within the conviction and tawakkal, that nothing can be broken and couldn't be broken from worldly pressure. How much torture and immense pain that this illustrious figure, Bilal radiallahu anhu, went through for the deen of Islam. And look how handsomely Allah Ta'ala rewarded him, that he was the muadzin of so many of the three masajids, that nobody in this world during his time had the opportunity for one person to give out and call out the adhan in three different places. And his conviction could not be broken by his masters and for worldly pressure. Their lives, and this is the Sahaba Ikram, show us that a man's greatest strength is not just his physical power, but his firmness of his faith. A person can be going to the gym, you know, being built and bulked up. But that same man, how many of us can say that that same blanket at Fajr time feels like 2 tons? Now imagine, how hard is it for us to lift that blanket up, to throw it one side, and to read the Masnoon Dua, the Dua for waking up. And when we get up at the time of Fajr, there's 3 knots. The first knot is when we wake up. That the first knot untied, we get up, we awake, we're making our way to make wudu. Or we're making our way to the masajid. We go to the masajid, we make wudu. He said that it's better you can read your 2 rakat at home, or if you can, you can make it to the masjid for the 2 rakat, sunnat salah of Fajr. It is said that the 2 rakat of sunnat of Fajr is more greater than everything and all the contents of this world. Now imagine how grateful and how great is just the 2 rakat of salat, of sunnat salat for Fajr. And that is the first knot when we get up. The second knot is when we make a wudu. And the third knot that breaks the shayateen, shaitan's knots, is that when we perform our Fajr Salah with Jama'ah. Allah Ta'ala give us the tawfiq and the hidayah to emulate and try to perform all our Salah with Jama'ah. Ameen. The Sahaba Ikram set an unparalleled example in the leadership and humility. Their leadership was a service and not just a status in the world or in society. Remember, Allah Ta'ala, وَتُعِزُ مَنْ تَشَاءُ وَتُذِلُّ مَنْ تَشَاءُ. Allah Ta'ala gives honor and disgrace to whomsoever He pleases. We might be a nobody in society, but in Allah's arsh and with the malaika, your name has been heard. And that is what we want. We want our names to be heard in the heavens and the skies. Because this world is just a temporary abode for us. Because when we go and we leave this world, people will forget about us. They might come across us or our name or memory in passing. You know, when you remind them of, they remind you of something, they say, you know what, he was a good guy. But when we pass away, what the people are going to say? Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. That's why, my respected listeners, we should try and strive to attain our akhirat. Let us build that bank account of ours in the akhirat. Ameen, ya Rabbal Alameen. And that the Sahaba's leadership, it was a service and not a status. And look at the Khalifa, one of the Khulafa Rashidin, and that is none other than Umar al-Khattab radiallahu anhu. Umar al-Khattab radiallahu anhu was a feared man by his enemies. And he was a leader who carried sacks of flour on his back to feed the poor. And he never do this in broad daylight, no. But he rather did it in the quiet of the night so nobody can see. Because he didn't want to show the people. That's the humility that they had. The Sahaba Ikram were so humble that they never boasted or had that pride or arrogance, no. He would walk the streets at night to check on the well-being of the people. This is a lesson in accountability and compassion that modern leaders can only aspire to be. Look at it, he was on his way to, ونعوذ بالله من ذلك, assassinate or murder our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. But someone told him that, Ya Umar, before you go to attack, check your own household first. And when he went, he seen his sister and his brother-in-law reading the noble Quran. And what was the verse, the famous verses of Surah Taha? Inshallah, when we have time, we will look and divulge into Surah Taha. And that was the life moment, the life-changing moment for Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu. And despite the immense power and status that is of the Sahaba Ikram, they were the most humble of people. Let's look at another illustrious figure, and that is Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu. He was a wealthy man and the first Khalifa. He would still milk the sheep of his neighbors and carry the groceries for the elderly. His humility was a powerful lesson that true greatness is found not in arrogance, but in service and gratitude. You know, when we make shukr and gratitude for the little ni'mas that Allah Ta'ala has given us, even if it's a small thing, but Allah Ta'ala will give barakah in it. Allah Ta'ala will look at us with His mercy, with His rahmah, and He'll say, my banda, my service is great, my servant is grateful. Even through whatever I put him through, he still turns to me, he still picks up his hands, because he knows that Kul wallahu ahad Allahu samad, there is none worthy of worship. Allah is alone. And we read it every time in Surah Fatiha. Iyaka na'budu wa iyaka nasta'in. Thee alone do we worship and thee alone do we ask for help. And that it should be our fundamental core. That before turning to creation, we should turn to Creator, our Allah. Allah will do, can do with the means, without the means, against the means, beyond the means. Allah can do in a split second. Allah Ta'ala can change a person's status through his arrogance in a split second. And look at how, at perfect examples at the time of Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. Fir'aun thought he was haughty and mighty. He claimed on a'udhu billah that he is God. But Allah Ta'ala showed and proved to him that there is none greater, there is none more powerful in this entire universe than Almighty Allah. Allah Ta'ala preserved his body, and Allah Ta'ala mentioned in the Quran that they preserved the body so that they can be as an example for those that are to come. And there are many other examples. We look at the people of Thamud, Ad and Thamud. They were giants. They used to literally carve their homes out of the mountains. Allah Ta'ala gave them that strength and the ability, but it got to their head where they thought they were better than everybody else. Allah Ta'ala destroyed them. Allah Ta'ala removed them. So that's why we must never think that we are better than the next person. We must always remember that Allah Ta'ala is great. Al-Khabir. Allah Ta'ala is Al-Khabir. If we read the 99 names of Almighty Allah, Al-Khabir, Allah Ta'ala is great. The greatness of Almighty Allah. So, how do we, as insan in this ummah, in this world, in this day and age, how can we bring the lives and the etiquettes and the teachings? Obviously, we have to emulate first the teachings of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But remember, the teachings of the Sahaba ikram, they watched every move of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They followed his footsteps in everything, any manner that he did. There are so many ahadith. The book of du'as, the book of dressing, the book of eating, and so many narrators, strong hadith, strong narrations, strong hadith that we can read. And now today it's so accessible. You know, you go to sunnah.com, you will find every narrator. Imam Muslim, Imam Ahmad Ibn Hanbal, Ibn Majah, Sunan Nasai, all the four, the Imams, Imam Abu Hanifa, Imam Abu Malik, Imam Malik, Imam Shafi, all these great Sahaba Ikram, all these great narrators, you will find their works. And it's so accessible today, it's a click of a button, there is no books that we have to swat through. Back in the day, they never had internet. And we make shukr. We say, Allahumma laka alhamdu kullu wa laka shukru kullu. And we must thank Almighty Allah for preserving our pious elders during this time, that we can learn from them. And that is, we must take their knowledge, because they are a fountain of knowledge. Because when Allah Ta'ala removes deen from a person, not literally removing the deen from a person or removing knowledge from a person, but Allah Ta'ala will remove the pious scholars. That's why it's important that we find a person who you can retrieve, you can gain that knowledge from that person. It is of utmost importance, because that is your deen, that is your way of life, because they have studied. They never had the internet. They swat those books. And that's why it's important that we listen to what they say. Because they're not pulling out of their bags, no. But rather, they understand, they learned all this year. And that has been passed down from generation to generation. You know, you see there's different sanads. It'll go, and every chain of narration, or any chain of knowledge of different sheikhs, goes right up to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now let us look, we were going to be discussing how can we as the ummah of today emulate or bring about a change, or how can we look at the Sahaba ikram and try to make or follow their ways. Firstly, let us be a person of Iman. Check your intention. Check your identity. Remember who you are. You are a Muslim first. Islam is your deen first. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is our final messenger first. Before looking at your wealth and your status, because remember, this wealth and status was given by Almighty Allah. It is a ni'mat that has been blessed upon you. You never gain it by yourself. You could have worked so much, but if Allah never wanted to give it to you, you will never gotten it. That's why it's important. We must do things with humility, with humbleness. In the time of the Sahaba Ikram, they were rich. They were so rich, they used to deal in camels, dirhams, dinars, gold and silver. And look at today, the same gold and silver, the commodity, how expensive is it? Today, the gold price, $3,700 a fine ounce. 3,700. Look how price and how valuable that commodity is. But that's why you must never let wealth get the better of us. Let our belief in Almighty Allah be the compass that guides every decision we make. Turn to Quran. Turn to Sunnah. Turn to the teachings of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, on his last sermon, he said, I leave with you two things, the Quran and my Sunnah. Those two things, if we follow it, and that is the way of life. Because the Quran has every answer to every solution that we need. Be it inheritance, be it marriage, divorce, children, how to the inheritance of the shares, how to look after people, how to look after your parents, how to look after your children, how to treat people. The Quran has every, Quran is our guide. Keep that guide with you and you will never go wrong in life. Everything, you turn to Quran because the Quran has every answer for you. Things that scientists have been trying that only figured out now, Allah Ta'ala mentioned it 1400 years ago. 1400 years ago, my respected listeners. That's how beautiful Islam is. Be a person of integrity when you are a leader and when you have a superior status in society, or even if you have a superior status in your workplace. Lead your community or lead your people at work with honesty, justice, and compassion. Be kind to them, because if you are kind to them, you have compassion to them, and it's a ripple effect. If you are nasty to someone in your workplace, it's going to ripple effect, and then those people are going to start showing that enviousness towards you. Now, we don't want that there. And just like that, at home as well, we should be loving. We should have, the home should be a place of Dar es Salaam. Should be a house of peace, tranquility. Not a place of fighting and bickering. And you know, all these other things that when you walk in, you feel like you're walking into a war zone. No, my dear respected listeners, we should not be like that there. The men of the Sahaba were not just historical figures, but rather they are a living blueprint for what a man can be when his life is fully surrendered to Almighty Allah. Allah Ta'ala gave us this life for a sole purpose, and that is the sole purpose to worship Almighty Allah. Thee alone do we worship and thee alone do we ask for help. No one else can help us. And if someone helps us, wa na'udhu billah, it is not because of their doing. It is because Allah, Almighty Allah, put that person there in your life to assist you. Because Allah heard your dua. When you made dua at the time of the Hajjud, you got up at that time and you turned to Almighty Allah when everyone else was asleep. You woke up, you made your wudu, you read your 2 rakat, your 8 rakat, and you cried and implored to Almighty Allah that, Ya Allah, Hasbun Allah wa ni'mal wakil. You call to Almighty Allah and you say, Ya Allah, you help me, you assist me. Allah Ta'ala answered your dua. That person came into your life to assist you in any way, any shape or form. Allah Ta'ala was there. It is through Allah's hukum, through Allah's will, that your dua got answered. And we must also be people of humbleness. We must have that humility in us. We must not have this haughtiness or pride, malice, hatred, greed. No. We should remove all these evil qualities from our heart and try to be the best of people that we can possibly be. And when you go out in public, it will show that people will automatically look at you and say, this man or this person, it gains like a sort of attractiveness. That, like, hey, you know what, I don't know who you are, but you seem to be a nice person. How many times you might have heard that there, a random stranger comes up to you and says, I don't know who you are, but you seem like a nice guy, or you seem like a nice person. It's because of your appearance. If you give off good vibes, or you know, you are a happy person, you know, and that is through the will of Almighty Allah that you read your Quran, you read your different adhkar, it shows. You might not see it physically, but the next person will see it. So let us make dua, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us a tawfiq to emulate and try and be better Muslims first. Try to be better Muslim, because Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was rahmatul lil alameen. He was mercy unto mankind. Let us be good human beings as well. ربنا آتنا من لدنك رحمة وهيئ لنا من أمرنا رشدا. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us, and in the translation, O Allah, grant us from yourself mercy and prepare us from our affair right guidance. Say Jazakallah khairan to you, the listener of Markaz Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah. Inshallah, next up at 11 will be the news of Mawlana Zaid Khan. Thereafter, 11 to 12, will be the bliss of marriage for Mufti Abdul Qadir Hussain Sahab. Thereafter, 12 to 1 will be the news hour with Brother Alpha Sinkosi. And then 1 to 1:30 will be the tafsir of Surah Tawbah, verses 113. 2. And then Mufti Sahab will give the verses. Then, At 1:30 to 2 will be the repeat of the tafsir of Surah An-Nisa, verses 25. Lunch break with Brother Yusuf Ali from 2 to 3. 3 to 4 will be the repeat of this morning's Q&A. 4 to 5 will be the Urdu lecture by Qari Hanif Multani. Marne walo ke ghar min ka kana kisa hai. 5 to 7 will be Maulana Khalid Yaqub. 7 to 7:30 will be the repeat of the tafsir you're going to hear. From 1 to 1:30 is that of Surah At-Tawbah. 7:30 to 8 will be the Nasihat by Mawlana Dawood Sidak. 8 to 9 will be the Medical Files with myself and Dr. Amin Melrose. 9 to 10 will be the repeat of this morning of the Bliss of Marriage. Then 10 to 11 will be Sheikh Anwar Awlaki Al-Shaheed. Then 11 to 12 will be a lecture by Mawlana Harun Abbas Umar, The 10 Signs of Taqwa. Mawlana Harun Abbas Umar, rahmatullah alayh. From the team of Markaz Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah, fi amanillah, salamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
You are listening to Markaz al-Sahaba, the voice of Ahl al-Sunnah wal-Jama'ah.
Haseen sitara.